Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I are going to do our very best to see if we can't shed some encouragement in your life that directs you to the scripture responses to our day-to-day problems. We all have difficulties. No one has a life of rally, and it's not always smooth as silk. And what does the Bible say about trying to address some of those problems that we face? Money is a big one. We've been talking about that one for a few days, and I'm going to allude to a little bit of some of that even in today's program, because money is something that's necessary. Let's face it, we all have to have it in order to survive. But does the Bible have a few comments about the money? How about a whole lot of comments about money? And that's what we want to do. We want to share what the scriptures tell us of how to handle these kinds of issues. Do you have any sales resistance? Boy, we are all subject to commercials, aren't we? TV commercials, magazine commercials, internet email commercials. My, it's endless. Billboards everywhere. So, do we have any resistance to these things? Well, let's talk about a little bit about that. Dave, I'm going to throw one at you here. Have you ever counted the contents of a package or a container to make sure that it actually had the number of items it claimed to have?
Hey, I think we all do that. Yeah. My wife does that. I mean, it's important to know that you got everything you paid for.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
True.
That's true. True statement, yep. Hey, you got a good one there. Well, that's kind of something that everyone else is thinking about as well. Do you add up the cost of all your purchases before you get to the checkout counter?
I'm not a money person. My wife,
she
counts every cent.
Does she? That's wonderful.
And she works at it. She sits at the desk and you get to the place where you say, oh, okay, how much do we have left and what do we need to spend for this week? It's great to have a person who takes care
of
the finances.
Right. That is wonderful.
WPFG has a person that takes care of the money. Is that you? Do you take care of the money?
Yeah. Yes, I'm the money man, yeah.
If I ever wanted something from you, from the WPFG, you would be the man that I could call.
That's right.
You're not allowed to give me any money. The state, we are a nonprofit organization.
That's right. I don't have it in the till to give you, but I have a wallet that it says, hey, if somebody needs it, you give it to them.
Well, we have to be resistant to people who try to sell us stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the whole idea.
We live in a world where every commercial television, and they don't show you. To you one time, they show it to you
many times,
a thousand times,
repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating the same commercial.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, but you know why they have to do those things to make you sales resistant, and if you get overly generous, you know, I just was just trying to be a little humorous, saying, hey, you know, open up my wallet to anyone. You know, we had to lock the doors to our church. Because, you know, somebody was using it to sleep in our church and was living in there. It's not a shame that it comes down. I guess most people these days lock their doors to their church. And also people are going to take advantage of your kindness, of your generosity. Our church happens to be right along Route 11, so we get all kinds of traffic. People coming by and saying, hey, you know, I need gas money. Hey, I need some money for food, or hey, I need money to rent a room tonight someplace, and can you help me out? Well, years ago, we would, whoever was asked that question would do the very best they could to provide some kind of assistance to them. And it got to be kind of expensive, but we did it. But because of recently, what the difficulties with all the people, the word must get out what churches will help you and what churches won't, we had to change our policy because it was getting ridiculous. We had people standing in line. So we had to say, okay, well, if you need some help, fill out this application, and then we'll see what we can do for you. And you know what? We get about 50% of the people turn and walk the other way.
Good.
Yeah, because if people find out you're kind and you're generous, they're going to take advantage of you. And we've had, and what led to that is we find the cases where people would just stop at every single church, and they'd wait a month and then go back and do it again because you can't remember everyone's face, let alone their names.
You know, in Davenport, Iowa, I called all the pastors and said, look, get this name and tell me next week whether they come to you.
Yeah.
And we found out that they made their rounds.
They made their rounds.
All the churches and got everything they could every week, every Monday.
Yeah.
Wow, boy, we caught on to that pretty quick.
Well, but here I thought I was the only one. You had it happen to you in Iowa.
Oh, it's all over the country, yes.
Isn't that a shame it has come to that? So, but that's what we have to do. We have to be careful these days.
But there are a lot of people who really need a dollar.
Yeah, when somebody really does need it, then we want to help out.
There's,
that's right.
There's some people that have been off work for 4 or 5 months
wondering
how they're going to buy groceries this week. It's really important that we learn about money.
Yeah. And the Bible tells us that we as Christians have to help and take care of those people.
You know,
the Bible says that.
The people who advertise, they're subtle with the way they come at us for what they want us to buy from them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
How do you handle when they bring on these beautiful and successful appearing models?
Yeah.
And they have things to say. What happens to you when the TV turns to that kind of a commercial?
Well, you know, the Bible has answers for that as well. It's not just my own personal opinion. And in fact, you can find it pretty quick. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the fields." So even the serpent was subtle in trying to throw hints of what we should or shouldn't do. Before the serpent was cursed by God for its part in beguiling Eve, it must have been a very beautiful creature, possessing qualities as subtleties and charm. When advertisers use attractive and successful-looking people as models, they are communicating the message that if you buy their product, you will also become attractive and successful. Well, don't fall for it. And that's what it is. It's just like the serpent in the garden. Well, that one is pretty easy to answer, I believe, Dave. You have any more for me?
Well,
go ahead.
How about appealing directly to those who are under authority? I mean, those are some subtle tactics about where to get money
appealing
and how to do it.
To those directly, to those who are, what did you say, under authority?
Under authority.
Hmm. You mean like, hey, get this dream house for your kids or something like that? Yes, okay, I think I got you.
Well, it catches your attention.
Yes, it does. It's significant to note that Satan did not approach Adam first. No, he did not even go to Eve and through Adam. He went directly to Eve. Once she was mentally and emotionally ready to follow his instruction, he used her to influence her authority. When an advertising aims his campaign at those who are under authority, he is bypassing their God-given protection. The result is often improper pressure on the authority, which can cause them to override God's given caution. In other words, don't let your common sense disappear just because somebody who is powerful and authoritative leads you down the wrong way. We hear that on TV all the time at these executive directors and the decision makers, who goes to Hollywood and who doesn't. And, you know, they succumb to the power and they say, well, if you do as I say, I will lead you to success. And that's an advertising gimmick that people fall for. And you just shouldn't do it.
Well, hath God said to Eve, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." That's what the devil said to Eve. There's only one limitation which God placed on Adam and Eve in the garden. They were not to eat of the tree, one tree. Satan caused Eve to focus on that one restriction and convinced her that she would be happier and more successful if it was removed. In reality, the opposite was true. Alluring advertisement. If anybody can do that, the devil can do it. He encourages one generation to ignore questions, to ridicule those standards of the parents. You know, we've grown up on God's word, and all of a sudden, the world says, no, that's not the way you're supposed to live. And I'm conscious that every day we are being instructed to do things differently than our parents did. We have different kinds of rules in the church now. We don't do this and we don't do that. And it's warnings that maybe you and I ought to be giving these our friends who listen to us every day.
Dave, you have a very, very valuable point. There's all kinds of temptations around there. How about all these expressions that were very popular here 20, 25 years ago? You've come a long way, baby. Remember that expression?
Oh, yeah.
Well, those who mocked and reject moral standards have come a long way. Okay, yep, they're right. They came the wrong way. So we have to be careful about that when these sinful attitudes are thrown before us. How do you respond to those things? It's not easy. And Dave, you are correct. We say we have to be careful and make sure we reject those things. And we've been warning, you shall not surely die. Genesis chapter 3 is telling us that. Even though God clearly warned Eve that she would experience death by eating that forbidden fruit, she allowed Satan to convince her that the warning did not apply to her. Remember that study? Oh, I think we've been studying that in Sunday school lately, in fact. Most people tend to believe that what happened to others will not happen to them. Those who promote products which are damaging to our health or morals count on this tendency. They count on it. By focusing on the assumed benefits of the product, they effectively deny the disregard, the warnings, and the dangers found therein. That's just a fact of life. And why is it, Dave, that most of those kinds of ads seem like they're geared towards the ladies of the household? That kind of bothers me. Isn't that a kind of a sexist thing that they do that?
Right. Sometimes the ladies are easy. Like the devil came to Eve and said, "Hath God know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you'll be able to see like God." What's the matter with you, Eve? Why won't you eat the apple? And you become just like God. And wow.
That's a good sighting. That's exactly right.
Discontentment really comes through people who try to ignore the right way and move to the wrong way. We are living in a world where the church is sliding away from God. Yeah. We have 3,000 people a day that leave the church in America right now. Mm-hmm. We're in an epidemic of who needs the church? Who needs the Bible? The discontentment, the things that are robbing churches of everything that is right.
Yeah.
We have to have something that will change all of that. And you know, in our family, when we were raising three girls, Judy and I, we had to do something about that. So we decided to have family meetings. At least once a week, every Tuesday night after supper, we would sit down and have a family meeting and talk about important things. And I was surprised, but the other day our pastor got up and said, "Look, we need to go back to family meetings in the church. It saves chaos. It saves disgruntlement. It saves people saying the wrong things to each other." And so we, in the next, the rest of this year, we're going to have family meetings and put ourselves back together again and let this person say something that maybe we could fix. And boy, we know we fixed our girls a lot in a family meeting. We talk about stuff, and they would be maybe at other times unwilling to talk, but when we said family meeting, we got in the living room and all sat down in the couch, it was then quiet, and we could open the thing up and say, "This is a family meeting. We're going to talk about things that bother you and bother me. We're going to put it all together in love. We're going to pray. We're going to believe that the Lord will change our lives." And to this day, my girls all three of them, are in the ministry. They married preachers.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it has changed their lives completely. And now when we see that happening in the church, and then the church begins to slide, people say, I'm leaving, I'm getting out of here, I can do better on my own. Then we have to have a family meeting and talk about it. And so
you are absolutely right, Dave. And I was listening to just one of our preachers this morning on WPFG, and he was talking about the dreaded impact that 60 million abortions have caused in this nation. 60 million. Can you believe that? Wade versus Roe, or Roe versus Wade, however you say that, has created a legal 60 million American babies to be aborted.
Wow.
He's talking about the talents that were lost because of that. Where did we go wrong? Did this just start with a school prayer and go downhill? People are getting away from it. What'd you say, 3,000 a day?
Yes. And you know there are almost 2,000. 2,000 preachers this year will quit the church, quit their ministry, quit preaching.
2,000 a year.
Yes.
Oh, my.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're getting another occupation.
They're finding something else to do. They're tired of the chaos that the devil has created.
Yeah.
He says, look, you can live this way, and it'll be all right. Just like the devil talked to Eve.
The devil's talking to Eve right here. He
talks to all the churches now.
Wow.
And just like Eve, she ate the apple.
She ate
and
the
so
apple.
Did Adam.
Yep, that's right.
And they both got in trouble.
They both got in trouble.
And wow, you know, the world says, get out of the rat race with your own business, okay?
Yeah.
Those who have started their own business will usually tell you that the rat race really began when they became self-employed.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough world, yeah.
You just can't. You can't trust the devil and his ways anymore. You better get in church, get up on the front row, take notes, and find yourself at the altar and asking you how to live so that you will not miss the future.
Satan tempts these people into that.
Oh, yes.
Satan's basic temptation to Eve was to be her own boss and to have equal rights with her husband and God. Eve assumed that if she were to eat the forbidden fruit, she would have all that she needed and become independent. And that's what you're talking about. People who want to become overly independent, they find they have to pay an awful price. Alluring advertising promotions to the delusion of ideas of being equal with authority. Oh my, it fosters decisive independence by encouraging each person to do what is right in their own eyes. It promotes the idea that we can isolate ourselves from many restrictions or hindrance to living out our dreams and our fantasies. Well, everybody has a dream, but you have to follow the scriptures about getting to your dream. And there's nothing wrong with being in your own business, but you have to be careful that it is the will of God and not your own idea. And we have to react to those things. In fact, overriding a caution to meet our basic needs is something that happens to all of us. Everyone needs a little comfort, let's face it. We have to be honest. This statement used to be in advertising for liquors or suggesting that we need comfort, that we will be fulfilled by drinking these things. In reality, drinking tends to destroy the very relationship that God intended to bring to human comfort. So where do you draw the line? When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she ate it. Well, that's Genesis chapter 3 again, that same area. You see, Satan effectively planted doubt in Eve's mind about God's motive and about the benefits of the forbidden fruit. Then Eve used rationalization to remove God's warning. Advertisers understand basic human needs in ones such as food and clothing and shelter and personal recognition and championships. Well, these produce attitudes that are not fulfilling the basic needs, and they are often associated with those who do. This allows a buyer to easily justify unwise and harmful purposes and purchases. And that's what happens if you follow some of these advertisings and promotions. So be careful. And that's what the scriptures are trying to say.
Sometimes if we do our families and our children an injustice because We get all these things coming at us from the world and we fall apart. The family meeting that I just alluded to is something important. You say, well, sometimes if we have a family meeting, the husband and the wife say the wrong things in front of their children. So it might be a good time to have a family meeting just between dad and mom one other night and get the questions that they know their children need to hear, the answers. Too many of us guys have one-word answers.
Yeah.
Instead of...
yes or no.
You know, instead of a paragraph. Mm-hmm. We need to learn how to give the husband a vent for his speech. And it wouldn't be bad if every man had to give an hour to his wife by himself. Mm-hmm. And then every wife had to say something for an hour to her husband. Yeah. And then they would be on the same plateau and children would understand, wow, mom and dad know what they're talking about.
Good
idea. They come in with the big news and we learn how to talk to each other. The family meeting becomes so valuable. Before we even face our children, we face each other and we find out what is proper for us. And then we deal with the children. And by the time they grow up, they're not lost. They're not dating the wrong person. I was careful about who my children dated. And when the phone call came and said, hey, would you like to go out with me? Robin, for one, she would say, Dad, can I go out with this guy? And my first question was,
is he a Christian?
You sound like the dad that I was.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
and you know, some of the guys didn't know what it was. What are you talking about? Robin got so brave that she would even say, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Mm-hmm. And if they said no, then, hey, hang up.
Yep, that's
You're not going with that kind of a person.
That's right.
So that saved us a lot of grief.
Yes.
Our family doesn't have grief today because we have learned through the days that if we prepared, it's like the devil could come with his biggest deal.
Yep.
And we don't want to be like Eve. We don't want to give in. We don't want to change and say, oh, okay, go ahead for one night. Who cares? No,
that's right. That's not the way it works.
That's the way the devil wants us to work.
Dave, you hit the nail on the head. You know, why is it that we're willing to do that on the job? We have weekly staff meetings, don't we? I had the staff meetings my whole life. No matter where I worked, it seemed that we had meetings that we had to talk things through, any issues come up, gray areas. There's all, you know, you have all kinds of rules that are black and white, but there's always gray. And so you talk those things through. Why don't we do that with the families more often? And that's your suggestion. You know something? I'm almost ashamed to admit it, but I don't know that I ever did that with the entire family unit. One-on-one maybe, yes, but never in an entire family say, hey, let's all sit down and talk this thing through. I don't know that I've ever done that. So now you've given me something to think about. Especially I see your family and your girls and your grandchildren, all fine, solid Christian people. Those meetings must have meant something to them.
I think they did. Yes. I think we took the time.
Yes.
We're out of time already. We're done. They're yelling at us. Hey, it's over.
Yes, I know. But we have to confess that if we're teaching each other, we are certainly teaching our listeners the importance of thinking about these kinds of issues, how to handle your dollars, what does the Bible say about it, how do you get these ideas through to your family, some do's and don'ts. And it's all very real and practical. So we hope that you are encouraged by our words and our sharing and our research. And we try to share these thoughts with you. And we're going to continue to do that. We pray that you'll be able to find happiness and peace and comfort in your day-to-day life because you've listened to Two Guys with Heart. Giff Briner here saying bye-bye for now.
Hey, Dave Colonin, I want to say goodbye, but I want to tell you, when you have a family meeting, go prepared with a new dream. Go prepared with a $10 bill as a bonus for coming to the meeting. All your children get money. It leaves them with, wow, Dad gave me a $20 bill that I never expected. We'll talk about that maybe next time. We got off track, didn't we? Dave Colonin here. I'll follow suit. See you later. Bye-bye.